Checking back in with John Yaswinski of Father Bills and Mainspring to get a little update on how they're coping during this pandemic and offer ways that maybe the community can help. Hey, John, nice to see you again.
Thanks, Joe, for having us. Good to be seen right now, you know?
Yeah, appreciate it. So I know we never, ever thought here in October we'd be doing this still remotely, but here we are and grateful to have this opportunity at least, although better in person, I think.
Yeah. I really miss the in-person meetings and seeing people. It's been hard.
Yeah, talk about being in a people business. I mean, you are certainly dealing with people every single day. How's it going?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a whirlwind, you know, for the past 6 or 7 months. You know, we knew early on that it would be a real challenge for our population, the homeless individuals and the families, but really the individuals, especially in the city of Quincy at Father Bill's place, such an at-risk population. A lot of people that have, you know, compromised immune systems, a lot of elderly people, you know, so again, it's just been tremendous support from the city of Quincy. You know, people, I think, remember we were able to be at the Y's field house while the Y was closed in the spring, which just was tremendous. And then we've been at the Howard Johnson's and the Best Western also in the city to really depopulate. And you know, the average infection rate for the homeless population throughout the state had been about 35%. And by us separating people so quickly, our infection rate was around 6%. So it just really speaks to the CDC guidelines of keeping everybody distance from each other.
Yeah, that is a tremendous success story right there. And I know in speaking with Paul Gorman from the Y, there were zero cases at that shelter while that was open. So that's incredible.
Yeah, no. And the other people that really stepped up was, you know, Manatt Community Health Center, you know, led by Cynthia Sierra. Manatt stepped up and immediately has just been an amazing partner, helping to regularly test our guests. You know, now we're doing new intakes and testing the new intake. So, you know, when it was tough to really know, you know, try to keep everybody safe, but being able to do the universal testing over the last 6 to 7 months has really been a real big key to us too.
Oh yeah. Do you have any guests at all there on Broad Street yet?
Oh yeah. So at Father Bill's, we've never shut down. What we did is Father Bill's usually averages around 140 people a night. And with the CDC guidelines, we can only have about 55 to 60 people there. Yeah. So right now where we stand is we've got that number at Father Bill's, and then we've got about another 70 people at the Best Western. And we're hoping that FEMA and the state will continue to support us to stay depopulated at least through the flu season, and if not until there's a vaccine or there's better therapies. We just really don't want to have an outbreak like so many other communities have had. So we are taking, you know, what we have seen though, and everybody's seeing this across the state, is Quincy's always had a very, you know, for a city that has close to 100,000 people, especially next to Boston, we've always had a very small unsheltered population. We've always had single digits, maybe 10 to 12 people over the last several years that are struggling outside. That number has tripled since COVID. Oh. So we're, you know, it reminds me of back when I came to Father Bill's in the 90s, where we had a lot of people struggling with mental health issues, substance abuse, that were out in the Faxon Park areas. And sad to say, we're starting to see that because we just don't have enough beds for people right now.
Mm, okay. And maybe they may not be getting the treatment for the mental health issues or addiction issues as well, right?
They're not getting into these programs and they're afraid to go in. As you know, many of these programs have had infections too and everything. So, and again, it seems to be similar across the whole Commonwealth at this point, is we all had to take down so many beds and we're not putting enough beds up to handle. We probably across the state have lost about 800 beds. So.
Mm, okay. Curious if I remember that field hospitals were set up across the state to help with the pandemic. Could there be something like that for the homeless population, do you think?
So there were hotels that were used just for kind of those, you know, people that were positive, so that we could get them out of general population. And now we're trying to, you know, thankfully we haven't really had to utilize those as much. So we're asking the state maybe to start thinking of those type of things for overflows for the winter months that are coming.
Right, exactly.
And then we got the eviction moratorium. you know, coming up, and that, you know, that's right now, this month needs to get extended. And what we're seeing there is we're in all the housing courts for our prevention programs is we're very concerned because the state, you know, the public programs that help people that when they fall behind on their mortgage or their rent, it's kind of maxed out about $4,000 of past rent or mortgages. And people have been out of work for 6-7 months and have much higher needs to be able to stay where they are.
Right. Yeah, I know that moratorium is set to expire soon. So it's up to the legislature, I guess, to step in and maybe try and extend it with a new bill.
Yeah, this could be a real tough winter.
Yeah. Has the fact that schools have reopened made any change in your population, John?
No, I mean, you know, we shelter around 130 families a night. And, you know, so what's really affected us is, you know, making sure that our shelters can reconfigure themselves to support the kids in the hybrid remote learning, mm-hmm. and having enough, you know, computers and capacity and bandwidth and all of those things when you have a shelter full of kids. And then there, we've got them scattered throughout the region and making sure that if they're in some other apartment buildings and stuff, that can they, you know, learn and not face, you know, challenges that a lot of other kids are facing. So it's just making sure that these kids can still get connected, even though that them and their parents are struggling with homelessness.
Yeah. How's the situation at Mainspring House in Brockton? That city was struggling. It's doing much better now.
Yeah, it was a struggle. We actually had we were in MEMA tents there for a few months, and now we're also in a motel there also. And our infection rate has, since it was in the spring, around 32%. So it was close to the state average. And Brockton is one of the harder hit communities across the board. But we've had, 0 to 1%, you know, since the summer, which is great.
Okay, great. So while you're, you know, dealing with the pandemic, you're also dealing with moving the Quincy shelter, just to add a little salt to the wound, right?
Right. I know. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, the city, as people know, the mayor is looking to build a police headquarters down off of Broad Street, Southern Artery. And our Father Bill shelter, we've had a relationship with the city since 1988, where the shelter was there. And they've asked us to relocate as they need that location to be part of their development. So, yeah, we're very excited and very thankful to the mayor and the city council and everybody in the city for supporting our move to go to 39 Broad Street across the street from where we are. And that will be having a 99-year lease, you know, with the city. Is it's really important step for us to then be able to go and secure public funding to build not a new shelter, but to build a housing resource center that will really focus on daytime programs, trying to triage, assess, and divert and prevent homelessness, but then at the same time, still providing some emergency beds at that location. And then we're also at that same site looking to develop about 30 units of efficiency apartments for our really hard to serve, really disabled population that are struggling with homelessness. So we're really, you know, we kind of taken a crisis and looked at it as an opportunity, you know, it's been a interesting year on this development, but as we're very excited and thankful that we can be part of the development and going with a new model of best practices.
I know that's, you know, always been the ultimate goal at Father Bill's, is to either take down the sign or, you know, shift from an emergency type shelter to more of a long-term solution to homelessness.
Yeah, no, it's really great that, you know, this has been in our conversation probably now. You know, Father Bill's always said to me, you know, when he was with us, you know, work on taking the sign down. And so I think this is the point where we're taking what we've learned in our 30 years and saying we can do better, and let's do better now. And we know what can work. You know, let's prevent people from having struggling with homelessness. And if they end up with us, let's get them out as soon as possible. And we've been doing it, you know, kind of scattered, but now it's going to be kind of in one-stop shopping, and it's really bold, but we're excited about this opportunity.
Okay. Is that new building at 39 Broad is that adequate to fulfill those needs or no?
No, the building there is a, you know, pretty distressed facility. It's been, so it will need to be torn down. Oh. We're looking at building a brand new facilities, new construction. And so, we're right now, just looking at, we just got site control in September. So now we can go to the state and see about getting the funding and the financing needed to do the project. And so if the project timeline would be is hopefully we would get funded for the phase one, which would be the housing resource center / shelter. Hopefully that would get funded in the spring and we'd start construction maybe, late winter time next year. And then it would probably take a year from that to hopefully get it built.
Okay. So you're looking at 2022, winter 2022.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, the obvious question is how much is that going to cost, John?
Yeah, no, you're right. We're getting bids now and pricing and everything. I mean, it's going to be probably between both buildings, a 30-unit apartment building and a new facility for the shelter and resource center. It could be upwards to $20 million. So, we're getting good signs from the government that they want to help out. And then we'll also be looking to do a capital campaign to support us.
Sure. We'll be talking more about that as it goes forward. But what about in the interim? When do you have to be out of where you are now?
Yeah. So the city, the mayor would like us to get out, be out of there sooner than when we can get our facility funded and financed and built. So, right now what we're doing is Father Bill's remains open and we continue to provide those same services. We are in talks with the city, and we're hopeful that that there is a relocation strategy for us, maybe to move across the street and renovate part of that commercial building as a temporary shelter for 2 years, and then be able to tear it down because then we could still build our housing resource center on the backside of the property. So, yeah, the timelines don't match, with the cities, but. We've had some positive conversations about what do we do in the meantime.
Okay, yeah, it would be very ironic if a homeless shelter were finding themselves homeless.
Yeah, and then you add in the pandemic right now, and it just becomes more challenging that way. Yeah. Absolutely.
I do know the lease it's kind of a token lease, right? It's $1 a year, so it's really designed to help you in your mission.
Yes, and we're really appreciative of that. And that really, what it does is sends a loud message to the state to say that the city of Quincy is really supporting our mission and supporting our local vulnerable people. And hopefully then the state and the feds can help out also.
Sure. What can folks do right now to help, John?
Yeah, no. So, we're still not, of course, having any of our volunteer activities at our shelters, which has really been such a saving grace for all the in-kind food and things like that and services. But so there is a significant need for prepared meals and bag lunches for that. And so people can visit our website at helpfbms.org to learn about those opportunities, as we've got people at the shelter, we've got people in motels, and to coordinate with our team on the needs right there. But food is a big one. And then we're also, right now with, all the motel costs, adding extra staff, running two shelters instead of one in the city, we're always in need of cash donations and support, between Quincy and Brockton. By adding all these hotels and the extra staff and the COVID, all the cleaning and the PPE and all of those things, we're running about $300,000 in new costs a month. So anything helps us right now so we can stay depopulated as long as possible. We've received a great response from our volunteers in the Quincy community, especially from the faith community. Good Shepherd Lutheran and Faith Lutheran and Sacred Heart, and so many examples of the churches and the faith groups, different faith groups coming together and really helping us out during these tough times.
That's wonderful. And of course, the holidays are not far off. I'm sure that's, in the back of your mind too. Typically you try and help families with meals, maybe some gifts, things like that.
Yeah, so we usually do a huge Thanksgiving event where we've been at Christ Church, you know, over 30 years doing a community meal that serves the homeless, but serves a lot of people just in the community. And it's sad to say, because of COVID, we just can't bring all people together anymore. So we've always had a delivery program also in the greater Quincy, Weymouth, Braintree area. And what we'll do now is we won't be able to have our community meal, but we're going to, you know, reach out. And if anybody needs a meal delivered, we'll just, you know, provide that. And then, and of course, try to do something safe at the shelter sites. But really having to do it and lean on our staff, as we want to make sure that our volunteers, everybody is safe and not have a lot of people in our buildings. So
absolutely. Yeah. That's the number one, I think, for everybody right now, is safety, you know, and staying healthy for sure.
Yeah.
Anything else we should touch on, do you think, John?
No, I really, like I said, I really appreciate you giving the opportunity to come on to QATV and talk about what's going on at Father Bill's. And again, just thank everybody for being with us during these really difficult times.
Sure. It's our pleasure. And please reach out at any time. We would be happy to help you.
Great. Thank you so much. Appreciate the support.
Take care.
Bye.